Welcome to From the Horse's Mouth, the official podcast of Providence Day School, bringing you spirited, informative, and entertaining conversations from the global PD community. Now here's our host, a familiar face and a voice on the PDS campus, world language teacher Jay Barron.
I'm so happy to be talking today on From the Horse's Mouth, which is what we are calling the podcast here at Providence Day, with Miss Kayla Dawkins, class of 2020.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. And Mr. Reggie Love, back on campus, class of 2000.
Yeah, so and, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. No, this is
fun. That makes me sound really, really old.
You know,
20 years ago.
It's funny how that happens, isn't it? It's funny how that happens. But I had a chance to go to my 30th college reunion not long ago, so I think you're doing just fine. but PD is very happy to have you guys on campus also because tonight, by the time this airs, of course, this event already will have happened, but here on campus is a Courageous Conversations panel discussion. And I guess just to start off, I would love to know from each of you if you could give me an idea of what you will be talking about tonight with five other panelists here at PD.
Yeah.
Kayla, diversity and inclusion, and help me understand what the conversation is about tonight.
Yeah, so diversity and inclusion are definitely those big one and two topics, but we're going to also be talking about equality and equity and the difference and the need for both in a school community, and then talking about the student perspective, the teacher's perspective, government perspective, all types of sectors of society.
Yeah, I think that Kayla's right. You know, it's not just a look at diversity, inclusion, and equity in the education world and here at Providence Day, but also how that's playing out and how other organizations are trying to be creative and unique and solve these issues that have, you know, haven't been perfect, but, you know, people have progressed on them over time. And, you know, I think it's always good to get people together to have those conversations so, you know, you can have sort of a collaborative learning experience as a community.
And as I understand it, the title of the evening, or the descriptive title of the evening, is first of all, spend a stress-free evening, and then it's talking about the importance of teaching our children to embrace diversity, as I think you're suggesting, Reggie, in order to excel. And I'm suggesting that it's way beyond just a school environment. So can you talk just a little bit more about that, this idea of how embracing other people, difference, diversity is important to succeed?
Yeah, I think, you know, so I've now been out of Providence Day for the last 20 years, I've worked in the U.S. Senate, I worked on a presidential campaign, I worked in the White House, I work for a small little financial holding company. We own probably 15 businesses, and so I've had a chance to see how diversity of thought allows people to really excel and to exceed. And it's not just around the idea that you want to have a diverse makeup of participants of a company or an organization, but it's also that people feel comfortable and they feel like they're able to express themselves and express their ideas, so that you can get, you know, great teamwork. You can get new and unique ideas from perspectives that people, you know, may not have had, and also to have a community where, you know, people feel like they can grow, learn without having you know, look, people are always going to have challenges. But the challenges will be less about their own individual identity and more about the work that they're doing at hand.
And hopefully that's part of the conversation in a place like PD, where we're talking about learning from each other. We're talking about embracing the richness that is diversity, not just feeling like we need to do something to check a box or to say that we are doing things in a certain way. It's because we can learn from each other. Curious to know from you, Kayla,
yeah,
this idea of learning from each other. Tell me a little bit about your, tell me about your senior class. Tell me about the people that you spend your days with, and maybe some people who have taught you some things just because they aren't exactly like you.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you mean demographics-wise for my senior class.
Sure, your friend group or the activities you've gotten to do, mm-hmm, or maybe some things even off campus.
Okay. All right, so towards the end of my junior year in May or April, there was a group of students that was actually quite diverse that went up to Northwest School of the Arts, and we got to sit in on a conversation between the city council people and politicians in Charlotte and talk about the socioeconomic divide. And that was really interesting for me because I've been reading a lot of books. I'm currently reading The Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander in preparation for her talk in a couple of weeks. So I've gotten to see it on a national level, but what's really happening in Charlotte right now? So we did some prep work. We used the Echo Foundation curriculum that was built from the internship last summer. And we got to hear and learn and listen to people's questions and really get to know what's happening in Charlotte and what's being done.
So how are we doing in Charlotte? What's your sense of where people's conversations may be, or just their comfort level with conversations around what can be difficult issues, difficult conversations?
So to be honest, Charlotte needs some work.
All right.
Charlotte definitely needs some help. Right now, we are ranked 50 out of 50 major cities for upward socioeconomic mobility.
Mm-hmm.
We are dead last. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So I think conversations like the one happening tonight is crucial to that, making sure that we're collaborating with people of different backgrounds and different communities to make sure that we're trying to optimize those goals. We're trying to get to that goal that everyone can succeed. And I don't know if we can do that if we're staying on separate sides of the tracks. We've got to definitely come together, making sure that we're using all of our resources.
Reggie, I saw a little bit of a speech that you gave back in 2016. You were giving opening remarks at a conference, and you said that change takes a while. And then you said, just because it's not perfect, which I assume to be the systems or the situations that we find ourselves in, just because it's not perfect today doesn't mean it's not better than it was last year. I'm curious, from your point of view, how do you see things in Charlotte or maybe in other areas where you spend your time, maybe even on a national level? Are we getting better from last year?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I graduated here in 2000. I had an apartment in Charlotte 2017. And so to spend a bunch of time sort of South End and downtown and down here in Southeast Charlotte and North Charlotte, and, you know, I've like been all over the city, and the city has had a lot of growth, a lot of economic growth in terms of just housing, jobs, but at the same time, to Kayla's point, you know, I think economic diversity still is something that we haven't really quite figured out. And, you know, and I can be like super philosophical right now, but I do think that, you know, one of the things I always speak to as a board member is, you know, obviously, like, tuition is really important, and we need, you know, to have all organizations need revenue to make the organizations work. But
sure.
There is something about giving the perspective of socioeconomic activity. So to know that, look, people are living a lot of different types of lives out there. Some of that allows you to be a little more appreciative and understanding and respectful. It helps people understand what kind of journey they may want to be on or where they want to potentially have impact as they are choosing volunteer opportunities or looking for jobs and careers. You know, and it's, I mean, and there's so many things that you can talk to around where I think we struggle. I mean, you know, I think you look at Charlotte and you go down some of these streets where there are bus stops and there are no sidewalks, right? And so if you don't own a car and you're taking the bus and you got to stand, you know, on a dangerous road in the rain or in the mud to get transportation to go to work, but you got nowhere to stand. You know, like very, very simple things. And obviously it's like important for someone without a car. Like, they got to get to work, and I think sometimes we don't always, like, take those things into consideration. I always joke around the breakdown of public schools. Like, you look at some of the public schools, and you'll have some schools that have kids that are, where the 80% of the school was black and brown, with, you know, 60 or 70% on free and reduced lunch.
Perhaps eating all their meals at school.
Right.
And packing a backpack so they have something to eat over the weekend.
Right. But you can go and look at some of these schools, and it doesn't look like what the entire city looks like. And can you have a real experience and a fair experience if you are in a school that doesn't look like or represent what the city actually looks like. It overrepresents a certain segment of the population around access, around single-parent homes, around economic mobility. And so I think, you know, we have a long way to go, but to the point that you made, I think we've gotten a lot better. But I also think it doesn't mean that we should be satisfied, right?
Absolutely. And certainly on the surface, Charlotte is a boomtown. We drive around and we see all this new construction, and I think you're exactly right. We don't necessarily understand what's really happening beneath that surface. I'm proud to say that our freshman class right now here at PD is putting a lot of time into learning more about our city. And so the students in the freshman class do go out into the city and do some service work. And, you know, there's nothing revolutionary about something like that, but just to be very intentional about learning about what the reality is, like what you mentioned, Kayla,
Absolutely.
About being 50th out of 50. Who do you have conversations with?
Well, I'm actually working on a partnership with Freedom School and Ms. Carmichael right now. It's in the works, it's still a process, but I'm working on a workshop to help our scholars learn a little bit more about emotional intelligence and how to communicate with themselves and others through poetry writing, through communication, through public speaking. And it's not going to be super formal. It's just going to be a casual conversation to start getting them comfortable. Because with Freedom School, I'm a volunteer with Freedom School. We're doing a lot of raising money, raising supplies, and you're spending a lot of time on site working with the scholars, helping to read, helping to lead. But what are we doing for after they leave Freedom School, after they go back to their school communities, making sure that they're ready?
Yeah, Freedom School is just such a wonderful program.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody in the community who hasn't had a chance to get involved, and I think many, many people do, and so to a person, I think people have good things to say. One question that I like to ask when I meet people in the Latino community, for example, is what do you want us being just the broader community, to know about your culture, about your country, about your heritage? I'd like to throw that question to both of you. As people who came to Providence Day, and Reggie, I know that in one conversation you talked to Susan Page of USA Today, and you talked about how important it was for you just to feel like you were fitting in, as any teenager would at their school. Tell me a little bit more about what maybe the majority doesn't know about the experience of a minority student at a place like Providence Day, or at a place like Duke, or in the professional world.
Yeah, I mean, so I think there's a couple points there, right? I think on race alone, I think I was a little lucky. As a freshman, I played varsity basketball and varsity football. And so I kind of was given like a group of people that were sort of connected. And so I think that was like a really big part of it. And I actually, David Calloway, Brett Galumbi, and Eric Stowe, who also graduated here, like still some of my closest friends today, and would have never met them had I not come to the school. But I think, my parents probably never made more than like $150,000 of income in their entire of annual salary in their entire lives, right? And so I think for me it was an eye opener, right? I grew up on the north side of town near UNCC, and I drove a little red Honda Civic hatchback for 3 years.
I had one of those great cars.
It's a great car, 4-speed.
It's reliable. Oh, it's manual?
Manual.
I'm a manual driver too. Absolutely.
We have so much in common.
Yes, I love it.
And so it was tough, right? Like to be in a scenario where you have friends who have significantly more than you have. And obviously it doesn't matter, right? We all put our pants on the same one leg at a time kind of thing. But, you know, those things come up. Like I talk about the soft cost of like being at Providence Day, right? You know, it's tuition, but then it's also there's the weekly trip, or there's the annual trip,
right,
or there's books, or there's attire for game day attire, or there's
social things that maybe some members of the friend group, it's a little easier for them to afford.
Even lunch.
Lunch. I mean, lunch, $10 for lunch almost.
I'm telling you.
And then
but
if
it's
you,
good, isn't it, Kayla?
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Flix is good. The food here is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
But let's say you got a game in the evening and you've got 5 hours between class and game time. You got to find a meal or transportation or all that stuff. And they seem like insignificant things, but if you don't live in Lansdowne and you live all the way across town, you're not driving back to take a nap, to hang out or grab a bite to eat or whatever at home. You've sort of got to figure it out. And I think those things, you know, they add up and they're stressful a little bit, but I don't think everyone knows that that's the experience for every student, right? That mom's not dropping you off at the ferry boat and picking you up at two, that you've sort of got a different, you've got a different journey than the average student, right? I drove 50 minutes every day, one way to school.
Kayla, what about this idea that we are all different and that's something to be honored and cherished, but that can also lead to uncomfortable conversations, maybe socioeconomic conversations, maybe we're talking about just different life experiences, or maybe friends who get to take a trip somewhere that you don't get to take, whatever it may be. Is it uncomfortable?
It definitely can be. I think it's important to recognize the difference, but also to recognize your similarities. Like, we have different backgrounds, but at the end of the day, like Mr. Love said, we put our pants on one leg at a time. We have a lot more in common than we think, but it's also important to recognize that people might not have that same situation or same background as you. I mean, just a couple months ago, I was in a conversation, but I was speaking to one student, and they were like, oh, I think PD is so inclusive. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have my same background. And I said, well, I don't know if I fully agree with that statement. I think in some contexts, yes, in some contexts, maybe not so much. But I think it's important to recognize the different ways that we see the world through our different lenses, and it might not be the same as someone else's.
So let me use the word communication for a second, because Kayla, I see you as a communicator, and Reggie, obviously you've been a very successful mm-hmm. communicator in a lot of ways, whether it's your book or whether it's the roles you've played. But Kayla, participating with Speak, participating with BSU, Pendragon, your music playing, the fact that you studied another language, and I did a little digging on you. One teacher in a comment said, okay, they all said this, but anyway, you participate, you ask questions, you come to class with a smile on your face, but what's really there is your motivation. You struck this particular teacher as a very self-motivated person. So do you feel empowered or self-motivated to approach these potentially uncomfortable conversations, or talk to me about that?
Well, thank you for all the nice comments. I appreciate it.
None of them are mine, but I just happen to agree with them all.
Thank you, Senor Barron. I think it can be a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So, for example, in the Black Student Union, we reserve that energy, reserve that time and space to have those tough conversations. So we bring all that we can for those 40 minutes, and we try to give as much as we can. And then sometimes in class, I have to muster up some kind of energy and recognize that, you know what, that comment it could have been said in a different way. So yes, it does give me some confidence, some energy to do that, because I do feel really supported here. I mean, you're just one of the teachers that make me feel supported and like I matter here, and especially administration as well. So I feel that even though it might be hard sometimes, I'm going to be listened to and I'm going to be validated.
Reggie, were you in a lot of situations at PD, and some situations at PD where you felt like the conversation was only because of your race?
That's a good question. I mean, I think at that point in time, the social dialogue was not as large, right? Mm-hmm. Because we didn't have technology. Like, I think maybe you had a cell phone. So the conversations were really more of a function of like your little friend group, right? And I do think when I was here, you know, there were definitely, and I'm sure they're like cliques today now, but
yes.
But because
we eliminated the cliques, we don't have those
what
anymore.
Cliques?
We haven't told the students yet.
Oh, let me know.
Please finish your answer. Go ahead.
So, I mean, in a weird way, you could, you sort of only had conversations with the people who you sort of were close to. We didn't have the sort of open ability to have a large conversation about a topic with a bunch of different groups and a bunch of different age groups either, which, I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad. It's probably a good thing. But I would say that when I think about the things that I learned from the group of friends who I have. I mean, it was like I met my first Jewish friend. One guy's dad, Cliff Calloway, he started ProMed Hospitals. You know, I shingled a roof. I'd never done such a thing. Made $20 an hour. I thought I was like a king. I was like, this is amazing. And so I think that I definitely fell into new situations and learned a lot of things that I just had no clue about. And you know, and sometimes it's hard, but I think I try to be open about it, right? You just sort of try to be present and aware, and take it in, right? But I think that's like the great part of life, right? To sort of to be able to evolve, and maybe we all should be evolving a little more, right? Maybe it shouldn't just be like a one-sided evolution, but you know, I think it's been good for me.
Well, I like your word, and also as a PD dad, I certainly hope that this is a place where people can have conversations, whether they're hard or easy, and that we're all striving to value differences, because that's the spice of life, if nothing else. Kaylee, give me a word of advice before we wrap up, all right?
Okay.
The teachers need some advice from the students. What's our blind spot? What do we need to know?
Ooh.
Come on. I'm ready.
Don't worry, the entire PD.
What's that?
You want the real tea or like the kind of the shallow
tea? Yeah, I can
tea?
Take it. I can take it. Yeah.
All right. I would ask the teachers, how are you going to support your students? What is the best route for you to do that? And I think the way to answer that is to ask the students.
I think that people should always be empathetic. And I think the best way to be empathetic is to truly to listen and to be aware. Mm-hmm. And if we're always listening and always like taking in more data, we can really understand, you know, or try our best to understand, you know, what everyone in our community is experiencing.
Couldn't have said it better. Thank you both for your time. I appreciate it.
No, this is fun.
Thank you
for having us, Jay.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today to hear it all straight from the horse's mouth, our spirited official school podcast. Be sure to join us again to hear the voices of our global PD community in future episodes. You can find episodes and more information at providenceday.org/podcast.